It's an outline on the back of your bulletin there, so you can take that home and remember the main points of the sermon. When I prepare sermons, I try to take one pregnant thought and just continually go to it from different angles. So as many times you've heard people, they say, well, what did you hear preached at church this morning? And they say, well, I don't remember, but it was really good. I want us to remember today when we leave here that we have this great privilege to enter the most holy place in the universe in prayer, and God has invited us there, and we should feel comfortable there because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verse 19, Hebrews verse 19, chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and have our bodies washed with pure water. Prayer. Prayer is boldness and confidence to enter into the most holy place in the universe. That thought, it just, I can't seem to get my mind around that thought. And that's probably good, because then I wouldn't think of it in awe and wonder that me, you, can enter in to the most holiest place in the universe and have a conversation with God. It's a mystery in some sense, but it's a practical reality that God grants us the opportunity to come into his throne room in prayer. And this boldness, what does that mean? I mean, in one sense, people that came in the presence of God fell to their knees. But he doesn't want us to feel that way. Not entirely. He wants us to have boldness to come into his presence. And boldness means that we have absolute confidence and an expectation of what is going to happen next. That we have a hearing with him. That our requests can be made known. We can enter into the most holiest place in the universe, the very throne room of God. And so I had to ask myself the question, when was the last time I, and you can apply this to yourself, consciously and experientially entered the most holiest place in the universe and stood there in the presence of Almighty God? That's a whole different way of looking at prayers, isn't it? Now, we're not talking about a theological concept here. And that's the danger that we have when we read these type of things. But a practical reality. He's not saying here, theologically, positionally, you can do this. No, you can theologically, experientially experience walking into the most holy place of the universe, and you can sit there or stand there or on your face and let God know what's on your mind. So that you can be in the center of his will for your life. See, that's a whole different aspect of prayer than praying through a list on Sunday. This is coming into the most holiest place in the universe to have a conversation with God so that he can impart to you what his plans and purposes for your life are. You know, and It's very easy to read this and say, oh, well, that's a theological concept. I understand that. But God does not give us theological concepts. We make that. He gives us an invitation for us to experience Him. That's what He's talking about here. Look at, you can come into the most holiest place in the universe and be there in My presence, and we can have a conversation. I want you to experience Me. Enter into prayer. So, when was the last time you unmistakably felt this as you went to your prayer closet or you went into His presence? Did you sense that inner witness that you were there? That you made that connection? I know this is way up there, but it should be practical for us. That's what's happening. He's made a new and living way by His blood that we can go and be right there in His presence. And we should be able to sense that by His Spirit. The problem is we don't get quiet enough. We come with a list. And that's fine. But He wants us to experience Him. And it's so easy to move from relationship to religion. It really is. I should do this. This is what I'm doing. I'm a good boy or girl. I said my prayers. I'm praying for people. But I did not enter into that conversation with the most holy God in the universe in His presence. I didn't listen. He might want to tell us something. That's a whole different way of looking at prayer. To get into His presence so He can change our life. And prayer is just not a discipline. I mean, we have disciplines. Well, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray. Okay, I'll read my Bible and I'll pray. It's not just discipline. Prayer is our lives. It's how we stay connected. It's a conversation. The Holy Spirit yearns. He wants to commune with the Father. And He wants to do it through our lives. We're invited into a conversation with the God of the universe. And as you know, conversation is critically important to any relationship. You know this stuff, but I'm going to remind you. For example, it's well known and attested to that more often than not, when a problem arises in even the most intimate relationships, such as marriage, more often than not, when there's problem that arises, the problem is there's a lack of communication. Because, man, the devil is in the details. I wonder why she said that. I wonder what he's thinking when he said that. And he'll say, he'll put a tape that you had in your life, and you'll misunderstand what's being said. Communication. Communication breakdown, driving me insane. Having a nervous breakdown. That's an old Zeppelin song. You don't want to know about that song, actually. But if we learn to converse openly and honestly, our relationships are enriched. Sometimes we just don't want to talk, especially in marriage. I mean, I don't want to talk about this. We're going around and around. You see it this way. I see it this way. Keep the communication lines open. Sooner or later, somebody's going to be readjusted so they understand one another, right? But if we fail in the area of conversation, eventually the relationship deteriorates. And I pick my words carefully there, because I use the word deteriorate in reference to our relationship with the Lord, because He will never leave us or forsake us. It's not like He just said, okay, I'm done with this. I'm through. I'm divorcing myself from you. I can't handle it anymore. We can't communicate. I'm through. No, that's not what He does. Because he's always initiating and calling us to come and communicate with him in prayer. That's what he's doing this morning through me and through his word. That's all he's saying through me. He said it to me first. Communicate with me. Spend time with me. And in any good communication, there has to be two elements, right? Listening and talking. Boy, we don't want to listen very long, do we? We want to get on with it. When there's silence, we go, whoa. All of a sudden, the mind wanders. Yeah, that's right. I got to go and pick up the kids and my car, tires. I got to get tires on my car. So in any good communication, there's an aspect of talking as well as listening. And I want to say this, and I don't want to get off too far on this, but God speaks to us by His Word and by His Spirit. So when we go to prayer, many times He'll bring scriptures to our mind. Or we'll get an unction that He's leading us a certain way. There's a conversation. And He likes, while He's talking, that we're listening, right? Don't talk. When I'm through talking, then you can respond. So prayer is prompted many times by reading the scripture. You're having problems with your prayer life? Start to read the scripture. And as you read the scripture, you'll find things that you should be praying about. You'll find the very heart and mind of God. In Daniel, there's a classic example of the interaction of the Word of God and prayer. It's in Daniel 9. If you turn there with me. Daniel 9, 1 through 5. You're going to see that Daniel understood something from the scriptures, and because he understood something, that led to prayer. Look what he says here. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. He's about 66 years into this. He sees there's another 4 years, and he understands from reading the scriptures, which is interesting that they call that word of Jeremiah, scripture way back, that it's about ready to end, and nobody knows what's going to happen after that. But he read Jeremiah 25, and he realized that the reason they were in the captivity was because they were given to idols, and they were not listening to God. So all of a sudden, he's reading the scripture, and this dawns on him, and it says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Interesting. We have an example of an individual who's studying the scriptures, and because he understood what they meant, he acted upon them and he went to prayer. And part of what he realized was the problem is that they needed to confess their sins. And so he stands in the gap as an intercessor because he knows he's sinful too, and he starts to confess his sins and the sins of the nation. But the point I'm trying to say is he saw something from the scriptures that it should take it in prayer. So you think scripture is important to our prayer life? You betcha. That's God speaking to us. We listen. We understand something, and therefore we go to prayer. One of the examples, just real quickly, of something like this is found in Matthew 9, 37. Remember, Jesus is moved with compassion. He sees all the crowds that are following him, and he compares them to sheep without a shepherd, that they're harassed and helpless. So he turns to his disciples and he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest there to send out workers into his field. Now, I don't know if they fell to their knees and prayed at that moment. We have no record of that. But as we read these words today, what can we confidently pray about? When you read that, what should be your prayer? Lord, send out workers into your harvest field. We understand something from the scriptures which should prompt us to pray. And the examples are too numerous to get into today. But you understand the concept. You're priming the prayer life because you're entering into a conversation with Him where He's telling you something through His Word which prompts you to act and go to prayer. We should be praying that prayer today. And you have to ask yourself, in our own lives, how can, you know, prayer is a relationship with God where you believe what He says and you do what He says. And He's trying to, what is God's ultimate purpose? He's trying to transform us into the image of His Son, right? How in the world can that possibly take place if we're not spending time with Him in prayer? Even if you know what to do, you don't have the power to do it. How can God transform the life of a sinful human being without them spending time in prayer? We have to spend time with Him in a transforming way. You know, it cost Him His life. It cost Him His Son's life so that we could come into His presence with boldness. And for you or I not to pray says something very incredible to God. And look, I don't want to put you on a perpetual guilt trip here. But listen, He's invited us into the most holy place in the universe. And we say, yeah, Lord, I love You with all my heart, soul, and mind. And He says, really? Give me a break. Most of everything you do doesn't say that. If you love Me with your whole mind, soul, and heart, why do you not come to Me? Or so infrequently? A relationship. We have an opportunity to have a deep relationship with the most holy God in the universe. You know, that has personal ramifications because we need to seek Him to find out what particular purpose and plan He has for our lives each and every moment of the day. But it also has ramifications if we don't pray for the world around us. Right? We're the church. We're the body of Christ. Ezekiel 20:30-31, God announces this. I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before Me in the gap on behalf of the land, so that I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. So I will pour out My wrath on them and consume them in My fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all that they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Now link that with Hebrews 10. Do you suppose when we look at the incredible sin of America and the rest of our world today, that God might be saying through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I'm looking for somebody who will pray, who will stand in the gap like Daniel did and confess not only their sins, but the sins of the nation, that He may turn His hand from wrath. Can you imagine if every one of us, even in this room, believed that? And set apart time that you said, you know what? Boy, I have access to the most holiest place on earth. And I know God wants to save people. I know He wants to bring about His purposes. Revival could come in the matter of weeks. I said it about 4 weeks ago. What if they shut down all the businesses? And the Christians, obviously they're the ones that have access to the throne room, would spend a few days in prayer and fasting. It's incredible. We have access to the most holiest place in the universe, and we are not taking advantage of it. Some of you are. I mean, I'm not trying to put us on a guilt trip, but that's what preaching's about, the audacity of preaching. Because I'm preaching to myself. But I can do no else. Nothing else but preach it. Preach it to myself and preach it to His people. Because He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to come into His presence. But we don't come. Not in that way. Yeah, we say our prayers. And we assume that that's all God is looking for. Look at, He doesn't want your opinions or commentaries on what He should do. He wants you to come into His presence and let Him tell you what His plans and purposes are. Now, I know that's, I don't mean to step on any toes here. But more and more, I am convinced as well as convicted that when I go to prayer, He wants me to know what's on His heart. And believe me, I've heard some people pray when I'm praying, well, praying to and myself. Prayer isn't just to inform everybody else around you what's going on. You know what I'm talking about. People go on and on as if God needs to be instructed on what He wants, what you want Him to do in this situation. I find myself with less and less to say. I don't know if that's praying, but I think I'm getting close to the idea that all I really need to do is set that person in the before the throne room of God and say, look it, I can give you commentary for 5 minutes, Lord, of what I think you should do, but I don't know. You do what you want to do. Commentary. My opinions start to fade into the background as I wait for Him to lead my thoughts and prayers. Do you see what I'm just giving you another glimpse of what prayer was meant to be? Not pushing aside the intercession for so and so and this and that and the other, but that it's bigger than that. It's more grand than that. It's more fulfilling than that. It's a relationship with the Creator of the universe. Prayer is God's provision for us to stand in His presence so that He can transform us into His image and guide us into His purposes for our lives. That's what Jesus did. He spent gobs of time in prayer with His Father. He wanted to know, well, I only do what the Father tells me. I want to fulfill your plan for my life. It took time for Him to get there and just bask in that. Boy, I got too many points. Ephesians 3. Turn there with me. Ephesians 3. And I think I'm covering, I'll try to wrap this up. Paul understood something. He had a revelation from God. And he's sharing it with us in Ephesians here. And we could pick up verse 18 from Ephesians 2, which would, for through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's a different way of looking at coming into the most holy place in the universe. Gives us another analogy. We come to our Father. A Father. You and I have direct access to the Father of lights. And he's given us this provision for us to stand in his presence before him so that he can adjust your and I, mine and your life. To what? To what's on his heart. What's on his agenda. You know, he chose us before the foundation of the world. And he placed us in a certain place with a certain purpose for our lives. And I believe strongly that prayer, spending time with him, he lets us know what that is. Of course, through his word too. But we have access. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to transform us into his image so that his mind is in us and his heart is in us so that our lives will become a highway to which God can go to the rest of the world. And he's going to say here, I learned something that even the principalities and powers by the Church of Jesus Christ has saying something to them. Ephesians 3. Starting in verse 8, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul had an assignment. You know, I have to laugh. I mean, some people say, oh, Paul, you can't think of yourself the least. At least you're God's chosen child. Yeah, he knew that. But there's something about getting in the presence of God that humbles you. Amen? Do you ever feel like the least of the least? I mean, he doesn't want us wallowing there. But people who came into the presence of God felt their unworthiness. Which leads us to the cross. And we glory in the fact that even though we're unworthy, he still saved us. But he found out something. And to make plain to everyone, verse 9, the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent, God's intent for the church from eternity past, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that say to us? He intends for us to show all the principalities and powers his wisdom and his power through the church. It's amazing. He goes on. He says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God. That was hidden. Only the high priest could do that. As far as coming into the holies of holies. With freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. This great mystery that Paul understood, just like Daniel did what? It brought him to his knees. When you think about the people that are in this room, you and I are to display to the principalities and powers in the heavenly realms the wisdom and power of God, we need prayer. Amen? Amen. We need prayer. And so he prays. It's interesting what Paul prays for. Look at what he prays. I pray. Now, when's the last time you prayed this way? You have to ask yourself that. Are you confined to what's on the prayer list? Is that... Oh, look at what he prays. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. that you'll be spiritually strong, that you'll be spiritually alert, spiritually astute, spiritually gifted, so that whenever you come into whatever situation, the plan and purposes for your life that day, He's going to quicken the spirit and say, this is what I want you to do. Paul's praying that, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Dunamos, dynamite, power. Together with all the saints. For what reason? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Because when you grasp that, the love of Christ, it will compel you forward to tell everybody about it. Evangelism 101. You understand the love of Christ and how wonderful He is. I don't have to get up here and pound this thing to have you go out and witness. It'll just rise up in you. How can you contain it? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, what? To the measure of all the fullness of God? That we're praying for one another that we would be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God? It says that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He was totally God and totally man. But are we, is this the kind of praying that you do for the people in this church? Do you pray it for me? Do you pray it for your neighbors that know Christ? Do you pray it for your children that know Christ? Because this is something that He's praying for people who know Christ. I don't pray this way unless I'm reminded to. I find myself, praying for Sister Mary who broke her arm and that God would heal it and bring her back. Look at those are all right. Those are all right. Please, don't misunderstand me this morning. Please don't misunderstand me. And I wrote something down because I was afraid. Oh, yeah. Yes, that may be a compassionate and heartfelt request. Okay? But if that is all our prayer lives consist of, that is nowhere near where God expects us to be praying. You heard it from me, okay? If that's all our prayer lives consist of, a list, a commentary, worrying about the physical aspects of somebody's lives, then we are nowhere near where God wants us to be. And maybe that's why we don't see things happening in this world. Because the devil would love for us to just live there. We have access to the most holiest place in the universe to find out what's on his heart and mind. And people, if my leg's broken, I want you to pray that God will heal my leg. And He will, because it's part of His design in my body. But what's more important, that I know the depth and love of Jesus Christ, and that I fulfill the purposes of God for my life. And that I don't shrink back when the enemy comes towards me. Or for everybody else in the world. God has things under control, and He wants us to come into His control room and find out what is our mission. It's not mission impossible. It's mission possible. I'm way off my sermon notes. But I'm inspired to this. And what it did when I was preparing these and knew this for the last couple months, it changed my prayer time. Because I realized I have access to the most holiest place in the universe. Am I coming to Him? Here's how Paul closed this section, verse 20. Now to him who is able, who? God. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. In other words, you can't even imagine what he could do. He can do more than that. You imagine it? He can do more than that. You find some promises in his word that he wants to do? He can do more than that. Don't shortchange God. He can do more than that. But when you run into trials and tribulations, don't think that he hasn't heard your prayer. Those trials and tribulations may be what he's doing to transform you into his image. Oh, the devil's got me. No, maybe the Lord's chastising us. Maybe the Lord's putting us through something to build Christ-like character in us. Whatever am I at? That is at work within us. Within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Look, may you this day have confidence and boldness to enter into the most holy place in the universe and have a conversation with the most holy God. Try that this week. Bring your list, but put your list aside for a while. Open your Bible if you haven't found anything to pray at that moment. Start to read. Let God speak to you. And when he's through speaking to you, you'll have something to pray for. Or maybe he'll just by his Spirit tell you something. Drop it right into your mind. Isn't it amazing how thoughts pop into our mind? The enemy can do that. We can do that. But when God does it, he directs our lives for his glory. Because he wants to fulfill the purposes and plans that he has for our life. You think you'd be excited about your life if you have that eternal perspective? Everybody you meet, you went to him in prayer in the morning, and these are divine appointments? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have access, you have access, to the most holiest place in the universe. And he invites us to come. Let's stand, pray.